In the scorching savannas of sub-Saharan Africa, one animal dares to propose the ancient adage, "They should rule who are able to rule best." And when it comes to movement, migration, and moving as a unit, these bovine big shots don't follow muscle, they follow mom. While your group is still trying to pick a place to eat for lunch, there's a hoof democracy in the wild that's already reached a consensus, chosen a trail, and is halfway across the grasslands. But sometimes, you just gotta bring that big bovid boardroom energy like the African buffalo here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/ldtaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about the Savannah's secret dangerous megafauna, but more on that later. More on that right now.
Right now. Instantly. I think we should just go ahead and disclose. We got to come clean. We can't hide the truth inside us any longer. We've done this animal before. But this is a new major fact that I think is very interesting. I wish it would have been a different animal that way we could at least do a different taxonomy. But it's been a long time. When did we last do this animal?
It was like in the 50
episode, in the episode 50 range.
So no, like in 1950. No, I'm just kidding.
It was in 1950. They invented the television, and we did this episode at the same time. And McCarthyism is on the rise.
Yeah. Oh no, it was 96, not 50s.
Okay, so that's probably like 2020. If I want
to... November 12th, not 2019.
So, I mean, it's been 6 years. 6 years?
Yeah.
1 month shy of 6 years.
That's crazy. I feel like we've been doing this for 2 years, tops.
I don't remember... I don't remember my life before this. Did I ever not do a podcast?
No.
That was the old me. That was that was when I was in the world. Now I do this show.
It is funny to think about, like at around 3 years, it was really like a point of pride. Like we've been sticking to this for 3 years, and then around like 6 years, you're like you tell people that, and like, oh, so you're famous. You've been doing a podcast for 6 years. You must be famous now, right?
No, I don't want to tell anybody about this anymore.
Everyone who already knows about it are the real insiders. Because there's no marketing.
But it's a testament to the fact that we truly enjoy this process. We're not in it for the fame. We're not in it for the dollary dues. We're in it to research cool animals and tell you about them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes tell you about them twice.
Yeah.
Like this one. What are we even talking about?
We're talking about the African buffalo.
Yeah. Also known as the Cape buffalo, which we have covered the Cape buffalo before. But we'll call it the African buffalo this time. And had I said nothing, maybe no one would have noticed.
technically the Cape buffalo we were talking about is a specific subspecies, but I think every what we're talking about today, it's applicable to everything.
It is the same nomenclature.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Cape buffalo and the African buffalo are basically the same. The water buffalo is a different species. So it's three names for buffalo in Africa, but only one of them is a separate species. And none of the buffalo never describes the big furry cow that lives in the United States. That's a bison. So the buffalo do not roam here. That would be weird. The antelope also don't roam here. I don't know what that's... We already talked about how that song had just got all of the fauna wrong. But yeah, this is also, like I said, it's known as the Cape buffalo. Some people call it the Savannah buffalo, but we're going to call it here the Loyal Order of the Buffalo. I wanted to call it the Loyal Order of the Water Buffalo, but it's not a water buffalo. It's an African buffalo. Can't get around it. And the bovine ballot box.
That's fun.
Do you ever listen to the song, the Fall Out Boy song, The Disloyal Order of Water Buffaloes?
Maybe, but I wouldn't know it by the name because I didn't know any Fall Out Boy song by the names because the names were ludicrous.
Insane. Absolute insanity, yeah. I just thought that was the funniest name I'd ever seen because it seems so like non sequitur to me. I didn't know about the Flintstones reference or the fraternity. Like the Loyal Order of Moose, there's also a Royal Order of Buffalo, like from a British version. So I didn't know about any of that. It's just a disloyal order of water buffaloes just sound like just such an absurd concept. I thought it was funny. Also, I was, 16, but I have since learned more about this phrase. And these guys are loyal. These gals, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any science tucked away in your shirt pocket?
Science pocket? Yeah, I sure do.
That your shirt pocket is the science pocket. It's the Poindexter pocket.
That's
where
true.
You keep your calculator. That's where all the science goes.
Well, it's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in the kingdom Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Mammalia. The order, Artiodactyla.
So it's a whale.
It's a whale.
Got it. Understood.
It's an ungulate with 2 to 5 toes. The family is Bovidae. The subfamily is Bovinae. We're talking cows. And the genus is Sinceris. Really, it is. I'm being legitimate, being very sincere. And the species is Kaffir, Sinceris Kaffir, sincerely a cow.
Well, since we're in the business of naming things, we already know that a bunch of these guys is going to be called a herd. So it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Sinceris Kaffir? What does it mean? Let's put those linguistic skills to work. I have a degree in linguistics, and it does not help me here. I can't put it together without looking it up. Does it mean A, bold horned cow, B, joint horned infidel, C, fuse headed carrier, or D, box like runner?
Give me the first one again. I forget that one.
Bold horned cow.
And then
joint horned infidel. Fused headed carrier, box like runner.
The cow, the one that just says cow.
Bold horned cow. Final answer.
Yes. Yes.
That is incorrect. It is an infidel.
I was thinking that was my second choice, but I was thinking, like, is the word calf? Okay, tell me the etymology.
Well, kafir comes from the Arabic word for unbeliever, infidel. And then sinceris, ceris being like a rhinoceros, ceris, triceratops, it means horn, and then sync, together. So together horn, joint horn, and then kafir means an unbeliever.
I was thinking you were going to reveal something crazy, that the root word for calf, as in a young cow.
No, comes
from the golden calf. So the word for unbeliever comes from the golden calf. I thought that was going to be the reveal, which would have been crazy.
No. Calf, the English word calf comes from somewhere else. Stems from Arabic. Although I don't know how you would pronounce it in Arabic. Kafir just sounds like an English surname.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Arthur Kafir. And Potter. And
do you want to know whatever. What it looks like?
I do.
Well, it's a cow. It's a stocky, has stocky muscular body, broad chest, short neck, sturdy legs, for built for endurance. They have short, coarse hair ranging from dark to brown to black. Dark brown to black. Forest buffalo is a subspecies that it has a reddish coat. And the hair thins with age, especially in older males. Wow, same. Both male and female cow buffalo have curved, upward sweeping horns that fuse at the base in males, forming a thick helmet like boss on the forehead. Their heads are large with wide muzzles. We're getting that to that time of night where I can't read. They have prominent ears and dark, expressive eyes. Soulful eyes.
Chocolatey.
The face often has a rugged, weathered look. They're tough. They have tough skin with visible scars, often mud patches. And they wallow in the mud to cool off, so they'll usually have a good coat of mud on them.
That is a good way to live your life if you are in the African savannah.
Yeah.
You got bot flies and the sun to contend with.
Yeah, but the mud itself has some nasty little critters in it sometimes, so.
I don't know if those could be worse than the bot flies.
True.
Or the teensy flies.
The teensy little flies?
Yeah.
They have long tufted tails reaching down to the hocks.
What's a hawk?
Ham hocks. You know, it's
the thing that Yukon Cornelius had on his sled.
Yeah.
Ham hocks and guitar strings.
It's
for the longest time I thought was the name of his dogs. I thought this was ham hocks and this is guitar strings.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious to me.
It's the joint in a quadruped's hind leg between the knee and the fetlock. The angle at which point backwards.
See, you're doing the thing that I definitely do to my son all the time, where he asks me what something means, and I, in the process of explaining it to him, I introduce a new concept that I then need to explain.
Yeah, you're basically a Wikipedia page with a lot of blue underlines.
Like, what's a hammock? Oh, it's just like it's where the knee meets the fetlock. What's a fetlock? It's the joint
of a horse or a quadruped's leg between the cannon bone and the pastern.
What's the cannon bone? This has been my life for the past, like, you know, like year or so. Is
I,
the,
I,
the drilling down to my core, to where I'm like questioning like if I know anything, because I have to get to like why is concrete hard? Does it have to be hard? Why isn't concrete on the moon? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Well, yes, you do. No one put it on the moon. It's made by people.
But maybe, but like, we went there. We didn't bring any concrete with us?
No, it's too heavy.
We brought golf clubs.
That we got a golf on the moon. We don't need to concrete the moon.
Anyway.
That brings us to its size. Welcome to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, the part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through quiz fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio yourself saying, singing, and chittering the words measure up into taxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear about a buffalo. Without further ado, we have to do it. The listeners part of the show.
Everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, but mine is slow. Oh, where do you get them? I don't know. But everybody's got a water buffalo.
This is the best song ever. This is not a water buffalo, obviously. But it is a buffalo, and it lives in the water a lot of the time. It spends time in the water, I should say. It
doesn't live in the water, yeah. Yeah, that's Water Buffalo song sung by Larry the Cucumber. It is interesting that, like, the VeggieTales when I was a kid was, like, one of the only animated, like, 3D animated shows I had available to me. And so it was the most interesting show in the late 90s, early 2000s. But like the shows that are available to the kids now and the animation that they have for that and all of how flashy it is, it makes VeggieTales seem like the slowest thing ever. It's not just that like the animation is old, of course, but it's also like there's way more talking and way fewer scene transitions in the old VeggieTales. And the new like cartoons, the PJ Mask, the Paw Patrol, all that stuff. It's so colorful. It's so fast. There's so much going on. Like shot. They have lost all ability to sit down and enjoy something like the Water Buffalo song. But they do like I Love My Lips, because
well, of course
he makes silly sounds, and yeah. this is Silly Sounds with Larry, the part of the show where Larry comes out and makes silly sounds.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about their height at the withers. At the shoulder, they're about a male African buffalo. It's about 5.6 feet, or 1.7 meters.
Not even 6 foot.
Not even 6 foot. At the withers. It's like a sedan in height.
Yeah, not quite a minivan.
No. Corolla. So how compared to this stuff, which one of these is correct? A, 1.1 African buffalo, almost one African buffalo goes into the height of a Maasai warrior spear. B, 0.9, not quite one, giraffe forelegs go into the shoulder height of a African buffalo. Or C, 2.9, Serengeti acacia trees. Trunks go into the shoulder height of a African buffalo. What?
The diameter of the trunks?
No, I think that means just like not including all the like branches all the way to the tip top. It's like the the good core base of the tree.
The
because you know how they, you know, they like spread out. Yeah, you know, it's the one that like spreads out horizontally.
Yes. The classic savanna tree.
Yes.
Yeah, but those things are like 30 feet tall.
It's the diameter. Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, like, okay, if you laid them on their side, it would take two of them. That makes a little sense. Let's go with that one. Final answer, acacia trees.
The acacia tree measures about 3 feet in diameter. No. Yes. Yes. But that's incorrect. The correct answer is 1.1 African buffalo go into the Maasai warrior spear.
No. If I had a
which is about 6 feet
YouTube channel, I would call it Acacia Missed It.
Nice.
And it would be about like how you take care of your acacia tree by spraying, by misting it with water. Oh, if you bonsaied one. Because if you, to water a bonsai, you missed it. So Acacia mm-hmm. missed it.
Yeah. Let's talk about their weight. They're about 2,000 pounds or 900 kilograms. Explain to me which one of these is right. A, 23 white rhino calves go into the weight of a African buffalo. I am talking about their babies, not the back of their legs. B, 172 Zulu war shields go into the weight of an African buffalo. Or C, two African buffalo go into the weight of an adult elephant seal.
Huh. How heavy did you say the buffalo was?
2,000 pounds.
An adult 900 kilograms. Being 2 tons. That's possible. They're pretty big. 2 tons seems like a lot. But if you live in the water, I guess it's fine to be heavy. How many Zulu warrior shields? 120?
142.
142. That seems like not enough shields. I feel like. Yeah, that means each shield is more than 100 pounds. That would be a bad shield. Elephant seal. Final answer. Two of these things go into an elephant seal. I'm assuming that an elephant seal is 4,000 pounds.
Final answer?
Yep.
That is correct. It is 4,000 pounds. What are you talking about with the... the shield.
You said 140 something shields go into 2,000 pounds?
15, they're 15 pounds. 142 of them would equal about 2,130 pounds.
Oh, you're right. I did my math. I was doing head math in the worst possible way.
I let myself get gaslit all the time. I'm always checking my math.
I don't know. I just like, I don't know why I did, why I did that head math like that.
Still, 15 pounds is quite heavy for a shield. For any weapon, you want it to be light. But a shield, I guess, you don't have to wield it that much. You just have to keep it in front of you.
The I went by it with 100 pounds. I should have gone with 10 pounds. I just took, added an extra zero to it. But the difference between the hundreds and thousands is 10. So I should have just, it should have just been between 10 and 15 pounds. But I was thinking between 100 and 150 pounds for a shield. And I was like, that is a terrible shield.
It is a terrible shield. It looks like it's made of paper mache. You know, the one, it's like a,
yeah, I know.
It's like a leaf shaped
shield. Yeah.
And it's like,
clearly they worked. Otherwise they wouldn't use it. Right.
It's certainly better. I mean, if they're stabbing at you, it's definitely better than
not having
nothing
one.
In between you, for sure.
If someone is attacking you with something, with paper mache, this is the perfect
shield. It's made of cowhide, so it's probably not intended to block a spear. it's probably intended to, you know, divert the trajectory of the spear.
I don't. Is it made of cowhide or is it covered with cowhide? Is it wood and then covered with cowhide? Because they did. Because even like European shields were covered with animal skins, but they were wooden. They weren't just wood. They weren't just like animal skins stretched over like a frame, and then it's like
I'm seeing pictures of it
through it like a drum.
Cowhide shield, which is made by, I don't know. If you look at pictures, it doesn't. It looks like it's just stretched hide, but
then it can double as like a kite.
You could eat it if you're starving.
No. Oh yeah, if you're starving, I guess.
I mean, people ate their boots because of for the same reason.
Because for the leather, yeah. All right, interesting.
Nice. Okay. Oh.
Before we get in, so we're doing. Is that all for Measure Up?
That's all for Measure Up.
I have a quick addendum to the Crown of Thorns starfish episode we did a little while back. Something I neglected to mention but was a very interesting part of it is that we mentioned how they do these big spawning seasons, and then there's a ton of them, and then they just absolutely decimate acres of coral. The Australian government is going to war again with another invasive species. Same thing with the emus. They are injecting crown of thorns starfish with vinegar. And it kills them within a few hours. It just disintegrates them. The starfish turns into self-destruct mode. It's
interesting.
It's kind of crazy to watch in like the sped up time, but anything having to do with starfish in sped up time is crazy to watch. But yes, they go into an autoimmune self-destructive process as when vinegar is introduced. So the Australian government is just sending out divers with tanks and needles full of vinegar, and they're going in and injecting thousands of these things, especially the big ones, in order to stop the Great Barrier Reef from becoming the great, algae rock.
Is it going to work? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea. We'll touch base in 15 years and see if we still have a Great Barrier Reef. But it's not necessarily, you know, snorkelers and divers touching it with their grubby hands. It's these guys are the worst for beautiful coral. But yeah, anyway, that was, I wanted to add that to the, to that episode, but Buffalo time, Buffalo Soldier.
Yeah,
that was going to be one of my nicknames, Buffalo Soldier. There's no word in the English language that rhymes with soldier. That should be up there with orange, because there's nothing that rhymes with soldier.
That's Folger,
and that's someone's name.
Yeah. So you could say solder. Like some people say, soldering.
Solder. The soldering gun.
You want to hear some fast facts?
Yeah.
Well, they're found across sub-Saharan Africa in savannas, grassland, forests, and often near water sources. In fact, almost always, because they need that to survive, to drink. Like everything in the savannah. Herd behavior, they live in large herds, sometimes numbering in the hundreds, for protection against predators. And just because it's nice to have your buddies. It eats primarily grass. They're grazers. They're a couple of grazers. And they can eat up to 14 pounds of grass per day. I mean, imagine having that much salad in a day.
Yeah, I don't like dump out the grass clippings after you mow the lawn. That's probably not 14 pounds.
No, it's 24 that they need to eat. Even in your memory, you forgot 10 pounds. That's how much it is.
I thought you just said 14. I'm going nuts.
Maybe I did. Maybe I'm going nuts. I can't read. I can't read anymore. They're known for being unpredictable and aggressive. And considered one of Africa's big five dangerous animals. So it is in a category with lions, crocodiles,
leopards, elephants, crocodiles, lions,
hippos.
Hippos. Hippos are.
That makes
in it. It's lions, not? Leopards, elephants, crocodiles, and Cape buffaloes. Those five. I don't think hippos are in there.
Is that just based on statistics, not on? Because obviously,
I think I don't think the hippos have the political connections.
Right, hippos are extremely dangerous and aggressive, but I guess they just aren't as common to run into issues with people.
They just didn't make it very, not famous enough.
They're very big and obvious, easy to avoid compared to like a crocodile who's likes to ambush prey. Both males and females have those curved horns. They're fused on the men. The men cow. They
the
live.
Bulls.
That's what they're called. Typically, they live between 15 and 25 years in the wild. They are known to mob predators like lions, using group strength and actual strength to protect the herd. So they don't just like scatter like a herd of wildebeest. They will group up and jump a lion, which you
they're
don't
not,
wanna
I
be.
Don't think they're faster than a lion.
No, so you got to turn and fight. And we talked about last time we talked about this animal 6 years ago. They're dangerous to hunters because they will seek revenge. If you hit one and lose sight of it, it will circle back around and gore you. They don't take that lying down. And it's probably because of this mobbing mentality where if they can't outrun their prey, or if they think they can't, or their predators, then they're gonna turn and fight.
They'll flank. When you're not looking at Cape buffaloes, they are reading Sun Tzu's Art of War.
Exactly. They're not endangered, but populations face threats from habitat loss and a disease called bovine tuberculosis, the cow cough.
They got the Burke too.
They got it.
We beat the Burke. They're still dealing with it.
Their
scientists need to come up with germ theory, and then they'll be right as rain.
They'll be doing great if they come up with any theories at all.
Their theory is, hey, someone shot me, let me kill them. Killing them will remove the threat.
Exactly. They're trying to figure out, their scientists are trying to work a way to circumvent and flank bovine tuberculosis and gore it to death. They haven't figured out how to make themselves small enough.
Results inconclusive.
All right.
Guys, we
they
still
keep spinning around and there's no tuberculosis.
Guys, we're still 12 feet long and weigh 2,000 pounds.
We need to find a way to get into the bloodstream. If you could just pass through the eye of a needle, then we'll be well on our way.
There you go. Biblical reference. You ready for a major fact?
I certainly am.
This major fact is called Deeds, Not Herds. the African buffalo is matriarchal. Their society is matriarchal, similar to like the hyena. They are led by females, or also the elephants. And the decisions on where the herd goes are made collectively. When it's time to move, the cows, which are the ladies, they will stand, they will face a direction, and then sit back down. The more individuals that vote in a particular, this is the voting. They'll be laying down, they'll stand up, they'll face a direction, and then they'll sit back down, and that is a vote. And the more individuals that face in a particular direction, the more likely the herd is to move in that direction. So it's there, you know, it's voting, but there's no ballots, there's no debates, there's no, you know, mudslinging, just a firm stare in the direction of progress. And the leader does not always decide. It's not like, okay, well, this one decides where we go. It is democratic. the herd tallies up the directional stares and then goes with the majority. Now they don't count. It's kind of
it's like the eyes have it.
They don't have a quorum, so they can't. Although they do call it quorum sensing, which is like, we get the gist. We got it.
Right.
Yeah, the eyes have it. Male, and only females do this. Males do not get votes. They follow behind. They go where the females decide to go.
How do we know that they don't?
Because
they are at the back?
When they watch the voting happen, the males do not stand up and make this behavior. The I want to go east behavior.
There, you know what? I don't know, man. I think the male buffalo have finally figured out a way to get their women to decide where they're eating for dinner.
Where they want to eat.
Hey, I'll just follow you. Go ahead.
She said, I don't care. And then shot down the first six of my suggestions. Of course she cares. Why don't you tell me? Why don't you tell me where you want to go? Why don't you stand anywhere up, face a direction, and that's where I'll point my car and we'll go.
Exactly.
Oh, look at that. We're at Texas Roadhouse, like I said.
No woman wants to say where they want to go. So that's why these cows just, you know, stand up, face a general direction. If we go to Outback Steakhouse in the north, then that's fine.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your vote. That's a second Bob Marley reference in this one. So this makes it a good episode. This democratic decision making helps them avoid predators by promoting coordinated movements. It ensures resource sharing. Older, more experienced females will help guide the group toward reliable water sources and grazing spots. This voting behavior is mostly observed in resting places. So again, it's when they're all kind of laying down and hanging out, the females will start to stand up and face a direction and then sit down. And then the direction that most of the females point to is where the herd gets up and goes. That's kind of crazy to me. I've never it's super rare behavior. It's a little too coordinated. It's unnerving.
Yeah.
Especially
for animals that can't count, like you said.
Right. They're just like, I think I saw a lot of ladies pointing north. So north it is. But yeah, add that to they're both, I think we need to do more studies into their intelligence levels. Maybe it's like an octopus. Like maybe we shouldn't be eating Cape Buffalo. Maybe I need to stop eating my daily Cape Buffalo burger that I do have every day. It's so delicious, but maybe they're so smart that I shouldn't be doing that anymore. My Jimmy Dean, White Castle, Cape Buffalo Burger. It might be unethical. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Stay tuned.
It very well could be like, well, it looks like a lot of people are facing this direction. I better face this direction. We could be moving that way any moment. It's just like a general like instinct rather than like decision-making process.
But they do, the females are laying down like a cow lays down. They stand up, face a direction, and then lay back down. Like, it's not like, oh, the herd is like a bunch of people, a bunch of cows in the herd are just starting to face a direction and then they end up going that way. It's a deliberate standing up there, then sitting down, and then that. It doesn't seem true. Like they do it one at a time, but like they will start to stand up and look that way, and then sit back down, and then eventually everybody gets up and goes. It is odd that like they aren't. You'd think that they would be led by a single leader. They would just go wherever that leader goes. So it's odd that that's not how they've. I guess that's so that they can remain coordinated even if the leader is gone. But this is a really slow way of doing things. It's not like, oh, they're, you know, there's a bunch of lions are about to attack us. Let's vote on which direction we should run away. Like, it's not very useful for that.
But unless they coordinate ahead of time, which sounds like that's what it kind of is. Like you mentioned, if they need to escape a predator, they're already like coordinated in a direction.
Right, but it's not like, okay, let's take time to vote. Should we go west away from the lions, or should we go east away from the lions? I've been eaten by a lion.
Yeah.
We took too long. Bureaucracy.
Which is why they just turn and kill the lions.
They shake their fist at the sky and say, bureaucracy strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
Bovocracy.
That's right. That, does that work? Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, that is the that's the Cape Buffalo. Again. All right. It's Cape Buffalo for you out there in Podcastia. Happy wife, happy life. Support women's suffrage, and if you're stuck in a group chat planning a vacation that never happens, just remember even the Buffalo gals know how to get their act together. You're in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
You know, the bad thing about doing two animals, two episodes of the same animal, is that people will know. People will have a direct comparison to see our lack of progress as broadcasters and podcasters.